Okay, hi everybody. My name is Kristen Merritt. In my actual day-to-day HPC job, I'm a program manager at this group called Alsa's Flight. For women in HPC, I work as their social media volunteer and have done so for 4 years, believe it or not. I also volunteer for the SC22 Conference Committee. Reminder to everyone to please put your microphones on mute unless you're being interviewed, as well as your cameras to off unless you're being interviewed asking questions. We are now recording this presentation. It is now an open invite to those around the world, and I'm going to share my screen and do a quick introduction before we get underway. My screen is being shared. Here we go. Play from current slide. Nope, sorry. Just kidding. See, look at that. We're doing good. Reminders. Okay. So I just want to say that this recap would not be possible without Alsa's Flight, the team that I work for, who does HPC integration, AWS, who stepped in at ISC to make sure that we could host a networking event, HPC Wire, and Inside HPC, who, when I met with them at ISC, said, please send us every link to everything you have for women in HPC. We will make sure we get the word out. So I want to thank them so much for making sure that everyone knows what's going on in our community. I also want to thank the ISC High Performance Computing Conference. Believe it or not, they have been incredibly, incredibly supportive of all the inclusivity events that Women in HPC have put forward over the years, and they are, in my opinion, probably one of the most progressive HPC conferences in terms of making sure that inclusion is at the forefront and core of everything they do. Of course, we have some very, very important people. These are the folks that attended our networking event and our workshop for ISC in person. And the lovely people there I circled in, of which I believe two of the six, and believe it or not, Martina is one of those six, made up the core volunteer committee. So I get to sit here today and be recorded and take all the glory for the work of six people, but I swear to you that this whole entire workshop that happened at ISC would not be possible without them. So thank you guys so much. Oh, names. Okay, Marion. We've got Marion, Veronica, Elisabetta, and Moishken, and I believe, all being well, Martina and Elisabetta are with us today. Let's go through the agenda, right? So I've tried to make this introduction nice and brief. We're going to kick it off with our keynote speaker, Dr. Professor Helena Leibert. We're going to follow it up with two of our invited speakers, Laura Schultz and Werner Jens van Rijsenbeeck. We're going to talk to those from our early career who are going to give us some insight into how the event went for them. We're going to then return back to our invited speakers, and then we're going to have a Q&A with our Women HPC volunteers and some closing thoughts. This is going to be a bit of a blitz. I'm going to try very hard to keep this going, but also I want to, if possible, allow people to ask questions. I didn't want to replicate the workshop for you guys today, but we'll just do the best we can. So, further ado, let's start off with Dr. Professor Helena Leibert. Let me stop sharing my screen. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hello. So I want to give a quick rundown of like the highlights of your bio. You have quite an extensive one, by the way, because I read that you started out on innovation from the age of 18, and you've had an incredible career, and you've got, and including the prestigious Intel Achievement Award is one of the things you've got, and now you're leading HPC and quantum computing transformation. That seems to be what you're doing, and thank you so, so much for joining us today. Just a reminder to those who just joined us, please make sure you mute your mic when you're not being interviewed or asking questions. So, Helena, thank you so much for taking this time with us.
Well, thank you for having me here. I really enjoyed the event on site, which was one of the few we had the chance to visit with this COVID craziness happening. So that was actually brilliant to see the community in person after 2 years. And the event itself, it was just brilliant. So thank you for organizing it.
Fantastic. And yes, thanks everybody for dealing with this interesting platform. The downside of working in HPC integration is can't play favorites. So no one knows what Join Me is hosted on. So as you people join, just a reminder to mute your mics. Please mute your mics so that we can talk with Helena. So the biggest and most exciting part about your keynote was that it was active. It was an active keynote, and I love that kind of stuff. I'm all into it. I know it's not everybody's bag of chips. What inspired you to design an active keynote? Tell us what the active keynote was, and tell us about what was the inspiration behind that.
Yes. So, well, this is obviously not my first keynote, but I like to experiment, right? So this is the scientist speaking. And one of the things I realized when thinking about how to go forward with this thing was to not only speak about diversity, but also kind of live diversity, right? Try it out. And from my teaching, from my lectures, I also realized people tend to internalize the knowledge better when they're included in the process of knowledge development, acquisition, and they actually tend to be able to keep the knowledge and utilize it better. So for me, it was one of the kind of obvious things to do, to actually go ahead and divide in smaller groups, because this tends to work kind of better as well. And then try and give the attendees a topic, a problem, an actual problem they could tackle in a very and this is by design, by the way, in a very simple and small kind of fashion, a small amount of time. So they have to work fast, they have to work as a team, and they have to come to a conclusion, which was kind of interesting. It's an interesting process. I do it with my students all the time. And as you said, not everybody is delighted with that, but those who kind of, dive into it, learn to love it. And, more often I do it, the more people tend to like it, because they actually understand the benefits of it, of the exercise. And I really hope you guys enjoyed it. I think it's, with the conference, with all the lectures, with all the presentations, you kind of tend to sit there and, get the download. It happens to all of us from different time zones as well. I think this was also one of the things. And now you have to actually jump in and do something yourself.
Exactly. Do a contribution. I think the thing that really resonated, and what I really witnessed, because I had to be passive. So because I do social media, I'm taking pictures and stuff, was I noticed the shift of energy in the room. It definitely moved people towards thinking about action. It was definitely not, okay, just consume, especially when you're dealing with DEI topics, because the thing is a lot of people do come going, oh, I want more information. I need more information. But you have different levels of people who've been through a lot, and some people know a lot about these topics and some know very little. And to bring that action in was just absolutely amazing. So the thing that really resonated was you really wanted to help foster that kind of culture, to foster the DEI culture. And we got a list of actions. I mean, I was frantically producing them on Twitter as fast as I could. And I have them written down, but I didn't know, because I know you've done stuff like this in the past. Like, do you have any favorite actions that people come up with, even if it's something silly that, everybody knows that, but it just, everybody goes, oh my gosh. So do you have any favorites?
Obviously, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is actually brilliant. Since you only had a very limited amount of time, you had to think fast, right? So genius is mostly obvious. The most obvious thing, like the wheel, now that you see it, it's like, yeah, well, of course, that's how it works. But to come up with that idea is probably not that trivial, right? And this is what we've done. We have a huge amount of great ideas. And one of the things that stuck with me, I think Laura was talking about that. I'm not sure. I think I give her credit. So it was about shining a light on a person, right? And it happens to many of us that we come up with brilliant ideas and somebody else comes and takes credit. And we, as women particularly, we tend to kind of be, we are educated and socialized to be polite, to be, respectful, to be quiet. And so we let that happen. And what Laura, I still think it was her, come up with an idea to shine a light on that person. If you see that happen, bring the light back to the person whose idea it was. And I think this is something small, but can happen to anybody and can be done by anybody in the room in every meeting.
Well,
I like that one very much.
The shining of a light and making sure people are owning themselves and their worth and their value. I think that rings true. I know it rings true a lot for women because they have a tendency not to, but I think a lot of people out there are afraid and to create a space and environment. And I hope everyone here feels that that's what we bring is that openness and that willingness for people to go forward. Are you still with me or did I lose you?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I do. You frozen up. That's fine. So really to end, because, oh my gosh, I can't believe, 10 minutes with you. Oh no, we need 10 hours. What was some of your favorite bits from the workshop?
Yeah. So my favorite bit, it was not actually part of the diversity discussion, but it was actually the opportunity for the young researchers to present their research. And this part, I loved it because usually, you know, particularly for the young, diverse researchers, it's tough to get a spot. It's tough to present the research. It's tough in this community to be seen. So for you to organize it, to make it possible for them to actually come forward and present their research, to talk about the science, right? I really enjoyed that bit. So I hope can, you know, extend that a little bit more, not talk about our issues as the diversity group, but also give them a spot to present their contribution to science.
Absolutely. I think I honestly, as I've told a lot of people, those who are on this call, actually that's where I started for Women in HPC. Mm-hmm. I was brand new to the field, and thanks to that, I learned how to write for the HPC community. I was able to get a research poster into SC, and I think it's incredibly valuable. It's a good starting point for anyone out there. So we will, and I'll talk about it again, at SC, we do it at SC and at ISC every year. And thankfully, ISC has run with the torch of putting the posters up. Maybe we can convince the SC people, but that's a much bigger conference and a lot of paperwork. But we'll probably find a way, right? Wow, that's it. 10 minutes. Goodness. Wow, that was fast.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. If you can hang around, if people have questions, we'll try to get to the end. But I really, really appreciate you coming today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Is Laura and Werner here? Hey, there's Laura.
Yes.
Hi, guys. Laura Schultz and Werner, Jan Spenreiserg. Hello, guys. Just to give you guys who are attending a little introduction, Laura, who is actually taking time out from a very busy schedule, and I will let you talk about why you're so busy, drives strategic development at LRZ, the Leibniz Supercomputing Center, and is acting director of the Quantum Computing Technologies Department. And Laura has shared her insights on leadership with Women in HPC over the years. I'm a bit of a fangirl of Laura, so I'm really happy she could join us today. And Werner is currently a research manager at the Center for High Performance Computing called the CHPC. He originally started, however, in commercial HPC applications, and he came to this conference to bring us some amazing insight into the development of diverse talent for HPC in South Africa. So thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
I want to start with Laura first. Tell us why you're so busy, Laura.
We are busy because starting on Thursday, we are celebrating in the biggest of Bavarian fashions our 60th anniversary. So LRZ is 60 years old, and we've got an entire thing planned. We've got, if you go to lrz60.de, you've got the whole program there. We're streaming a lot of it. And we're actually currently, I hear them now, you might hear them too in the background, they are setting up our beer garden because I think we are the only supercomputing center in the entire world that has a beer garden in between our buildings. So we plan on utilizing it with full passion and gusto the next couple of days.
Oh, thank you. Thank you again for coming. I know that's, that you've been working nonstop to bring this anniversary to light. And for Werner, I want to say that it was a true honor to hear about the work that you're doing at the CHPC and working specifically on your diversity initiatives and inclusivity in South Africa. So there was people who were not able to attend, and I want you just like in the worst possible fashion, because we only have so much time, give me an overview about how CHPC is leading the way in talent development for HPC.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I first want to say, yes, this joining the Women HPC session during the conference was really a fun session for me. And I'm just pleased to be part of this again. And I have some of my colleagues joining today. I'm not even sure who's on the line, but I'm pleased that they are. Yes, I don't want to take a lot of time. I suppose the recording is available for people that want to see. Yes. You say leading. I would be a bit more modest than that. I would not necessarily view ourselves as leading, but I'm most willing to share what we are doing. In my presentation, I shared just a number of initiatives, and I must be honest, in many of, or some of these cases, we are not necessarily doing this with this objective of being diverse. It's more about doing our work and making sure that we give everybody the opportunity that they can and should. So I talked about how employee distribution look at CHPC. I talked about things like our users and principal investigators, and also some of the projects that we are pursuing, like the HPC Ecosystems project, where we distribute resources, hardware, HPC systems to entities and countries that have no resources. And there we get very interesting opportunities to engage with very diverse communities and people. Also our efforts towards the student cluster competition at ISC and how we've put measures in place to make sure that it is diverse. And also just our own Women in HPC initiatives in South Africa. We have some of the colleagues here online that has been trying and been in working on this for many years. Just putting all of this together and hopefully giving or gave a view of it. And I think there was one or two key things that came out and I acknowledged in the session as well. I mean, we are also trying. We are not perfecting this. We have still a huge challenge with getting representation right, but our give especially employees a good chance. And maybe just off with one thing that people should know about South Africa is diversity is not about male, female, but also making sure that we get our representative groups represented. With the challenge, I suppose, that the majority of the representative groups in South Africa is not represented at HPC. I think that's a unique perspective. Usually it's your minority groups. South Africa is the majority groups that we need to get the opportunity to participate. I don't want to take too much time, so I will just stop
there. Oh, it's okay. No. And just a reminder to everybody who's on the call, if you're not being interviewed, could you please make sure that your microphone's on mute? Thanks so much. To be honest, I know you say you're being modest about the leading the way, but I've really put a lot of, I've been thinking a lot about thought leadership and how it's so important to have people get up and say, here's where we are and here's what we're doing and here's what we're trying. And yes, we know we're not perfect. And that was like one of the beauties of, I think, all the presentations, including yours, Werner, where you really said, listen, here's where we're headed. This is where we want to go. And be honest about that. And this is where I bring in Laura, because one of the things that has made me be, you know, one of your biggest fans is you talk honestly about leadership. You don't mix words. You don't talk about it being a wonderful rainbow bridge to happy land. And for you, really, a lot of what I hear is, you know, we don't often really talk about the downsides of leadership. And I'm grateful for you bringing that up. Do you think that you're making more headway, or do you think your words and words of others are helping people have more honest discussions about the ups and downs of leadership?
Thanks, Kristen. You know, I certainly hope so. I mean, the thing is, I never want to detract anybody from getting into leadership, because we need strong, good, capable leaders. We need people who are passionate about what they do. But I think going in with an honest, realistic assessment of what you're going to be facing is really important. I mean, you know, you need to start really being comfortable with really accepting accountability, right? The buck stops with you, as we say in English. You know, if something is for your department or the responsibility of your department, regardless of what goes on, you know, you're accountable for it. And so you have to get comfortable with that role, with being that shield out in front and saying, okay, you know what, this got messed up. We're going to fix it. This is what happened, but you know, but this is my job to fix this. You have to learn how to have the difficult conversations, and not only that, you have to learn how to engage and start the difficult conversations. I had to do that just this week, and you know, it's uncomfortable, but you have to learn how to get the tools together to figure out how to have these kind of scripts in your mind, and you have to do it. I mean, this is your job, and this is your responsibility. People are relying on you. You know, one thing that I talk about is, especially when you start off in management and then the leadership part, you know, you've got to take the vision of those ahead of you or above you and craft it in a clarifying, meaningful way, in an actionable way for those that, you know, that you're responsible for. So, I mean, there's all these different components. You have to really learn how to read people. You know, I'm very comfortable in a kind of a chaotic environment. I swim in that space very well. But I have a lot of people who work with me who are very, very conscientious, very detail-oriented. They like stability. We just had a DISC training refresher again this week with my team, and I was reminded that I've got to make sure that I'm providing stability. I can't. It's not just about me. I have to. I guess it's almost like being a parent in a way. That, you know, the show is no longer about you and what you're doing. Your results. Your success is when others are successful, and when goals and vision are met. So it's a little bit of a challenging position to go from the individual contributor to somebody who's leading a group. But you know, I never want to discourage anybody from doing it, because I think that all it takes is really putting, you know, thinking about it, putting the tools in place, you know, getting yourself a game plan, seeking advice and guidance and collaboration with other people like you, and sorting it out. And please go for it, because we need really strong, capable, good quality leaders.
Thank you so much, Laura and Werner. And oh my gosh, we've got a minute left. I know, be quick. And the thing is, I don't want it to be too rushed, because there's so much goodness that came out of this. But Werner, I guess, you know what, since we gave Laura her moment with the wonderful 60th anniversary, is there anything amazing at the CHPC we need to know about?
Well, I think when it comes to, well, specifically the theme of the discussion, we of course to have all the answers. And when I think back up the question, the challenge that we saw is this 30% barrier. I mean, you will know almost any project that we work where we want women representation, it seems like get to that 30%, but getting on is where the challenge comes. And I think for us still a challenge, and we are not thinking that we have made it work. But we are trying. I think I can maybe just say that there's a few things like understanding your diversity challenges that we think we are trying to do, not claiming that we are doing it, making sure that we give our credit and opportunity to people that deserves and needs to get it, and then honest commitments to all levels of the organization, and whether it is now one-on-one level, an informal way, or dedicated, say, tasks and responsibilities within teams, but right up to the management level, where some of the important, say, decisions are taken, is this needs to be recognized. And yeah, this is a work in progress at CHPC. So I'm not going to highlight any specific, say, project at the moment, but this is an all-encompassing, I think, way of working.
Wonderful. Yeah. I mean, yeah. To be honest with you, for you guys that are there, this is not doom and gloom. The best part about attending these workshops and the best outcomes from these workshops is a lot of people think that it's easy or that other people are doing better than you. And to have people get up and talk about the ups and downs and the things that have gone well and poorly, I think that brings more humanity to HPC. It lets people realize that there is great ideas out there, and there's stuff that's been out there that has bombed and didn't work. And that's okay. And so I will close out to Laura and Werner and say a massive, massive thank you for coming here today. Again, to everybody, while we have the early career speakers, Laura, possibly Teresa and Sarah put their mics on and their cameras in place, that we had every invited speaker agree to attend. We had the keynote agree to attend. We had half the career and half the volunteers. And I couldn't ask for more as an organizer and a volunteer for Women in HPC. So up next, do we have Teresa or Sarah or Laura?
Hi, this is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Laura, hey, there you are. I know Sarah has had issues. With her camera, so she will be a beautiful voice that will float over us all. Laura, you are at the CHPC, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And Sarah is at Barcelona Supercomputing Center, and we might be joined by Teresa in good measure, but she had a work commitment come up, and that's totally cool. So because we've ended with this HPC, why don't we start with another CHPC? Laura, why don't you tell me a little bit about the poster you presented?
So my poster was titled Zero to HPC in 365 Days. So I am completely new to the field of HPC. I've been working at the CHPC since May, the beginning of May 2021, and it was just a recount of the things, the lessons that I've learned, the things that I feel like other HPC centers might like to know from a new hire from sort of outside the field. I studied biomedical engineering, so I had no prior experience with HPC, and just my experience in the first year and the lessons learned and suggestions based on that. That was my poster.
That's fine. And Sarah, why don't you tell us about your work?
So my poster was a summary of the work done in the last 6 years, probably, and it explains the adaptations we do to the OpenMP parallel programming model to be useful in domains other than high-performance computing, like cyber-physical systems, for example. And, well, I was explaining the different optimizations and analysis we do at the compiler and at the runtime level in order to provide not only performance but also real-time warranties with the model.
So I just realized then I've got a person at the very beginning and somebody who's been working up to this moment on this call, which is absolutely amazing. So really we have two wonderful perspectives here. We have Laura, who's at the start of all this, and really it can be overwhelming. Did the workshop help at all, Laura? Did it help you kind of realize that you weren't alone in this, or that there's more that you can learn?
Yeah, I think definitely just a reminder that everyone starts somewhere, and to not be intimidated, and that knowing HPC, people in the field know that it's a very specialized field and they're very welcoming, and just kind of accepting of people being valuable contributors really no matter what their level of experience is. So that was a really nice reminder for me. Also just a great opportunity to meet people in the field and grow networks and that sort of thing.
I think that's amazing. How about you? So Sarah, if this is a culmination of 6 years for you, like how did this feel for you to get up and present and to be in this kind of environment? What was this experience like?
Honestly, it was super nice, because after the 2 years of pandemics and after creating a family in the last 6 years, which kind of stopped me from many interactions outside of my office and my near colleagues, it has been super nice to again travel, again meet people, new people with new backgrounds, and explain my work again. So it has been really refreshing, and it has had a great impact on my work, because I created several connections there and new threads to start new projects, actually. So super nice.
That's great. I'm very pleased to hear that this has done so much to at least reopen the doors in some cases, or in others just start those connections that are necessary. Now, I again I'm promoting the next workshop, which is at SC in Dallas, and we are opening this up again for early career speakers. In this case, Dallas has a tendency to be a much larger event, and it is quite a gauntlet, but at the same time, we want people to be involved, and so I really want to ask, I'll start with Laura, and then I'll end with Sarah. So if you were, if someone came to you and said, should I do this? What would you say, and is there any guidance you would give them about submitting a poster or a talk to our workshop?
So I think that I would definitely say go for it. I was very intimidated and unsure myself whether I felt like I had something valuable to say in the space, and I was proven wrong in that respect, and I think that was really great for me just to feel like I had something valuable to say and people were interested in my contribution. And yeah, just do it. Even if you're intimidated, it's a wonderful opportunity, and you never know who you're going to help in the process. I was standing at my poster one day, and there was a girl who was in a completely different field, and she had funded herself to go to the conference, and she said she was so inspired, and it was so wonderful for her to see people who were from outside, and it was just a nice thing. You never know who you're going to help by participating and by being a face in the field.
Thank you. Sarah, what would you say to someone who was interested in and was seeking some advice on how to get involved with this, how to put in an abstract? Would you do it again?
Of course, I would do it again. Yeah. So, well, my recommendation is just prepare a nice piece of work, which probably anyone thinking of submitting in Women at HPC, in HPC can do. And be prepared to talk to as many people as you can, because it's a great opportunity for networking. And also, one thing I wanted to mention is the mentoring program, which I don't know if it happens in all the venues, but I'm so grateful for that. Sorry?
Yes, it does. It does.
So if you get the chance to know someone, I mean, to enter in this mentoring program, just do it. I was so happy to meet Elisabetta in advance. She helped a lot before and during the workshop. So that is also my recommendation.
Thank you, guys. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Yeah, I really wish that we could just do the workshop over again because their presentations were amazing. It was so great to see people start off nervous and then suddenly gain their confidence. Again, this type of stuff, we really want to create spaces where people feel welcome. And I honestly believe from my own experience that had I not had such a positive start, I think I would have been discouraged. I probably wouldn't have done it going forward. But now here I am leading a webinar for women in HPC, though, so there you go. Thank you again. Now, while Jack and CJ, who I saw briefly flash on, start turning on their cameras and their microphones, I will start giving a little introduction to who they are. I was so pleased that both Jack and CJ, who both hail from NVIDIA, were able to attend. If you guys who haven't been to past Women in HPC events, we were properly balanced with our speakers at this workshop, which is where we would like to be with all things nice and balanced. There's more, of course, we could do, but it was a wonderful thing to see forward. We've got Jack with us. He's a scientific program manager at NVIDIA, and he as well as chairline of the American Physical Society's Division of Computational Physics and president of OpenACC. And he spoke about developing a work culture that works for all. And then CJ is a principal architect who drives HPC strategy and SW product roadmap. He also focuses on building up better communities in HPC and spoke about developing resilience. Thank you guys for joining. CJ, are you okay and online? Oh, did we lose CJ? Jack, can you hear me okay?
I can. Can you hear me?
Okay. That's fine. I saw him come. Maybe he's having some issues and has disappeared briefly, but that's okay because Jack was kind enough to start talking to me yesterday about stuff that mattered most to him at this conference. And he said his quote, and I think I'll start with a quote, and I will lead into what you consider to be a real impact on this presentation. Is you said, an expert is someone who has made all the mistakes, and I'm becoming such an expert. And that was probably one of the most retweeted, socially picked up, commented on statements from the workshop itself. And you said that you learned and you've added to your knowledge as you came into this. So can you kind of like maybe give us a little history behind that quote and where it came from, and then talk about this wonderful experience you've had?
Yeah, so I encountered this quote actually in my early career. It was 1989. The quote comes from Niels Bohr, the famous physicist from Copenhagen. And I think the complete quote is something like, an expert is someone who, working in a narrow field, has made all the mistakes for themselves, right? And then and gone on to some accomplishment. And I heard it in 1989 at a physics conference. It was secondhand. Bohr was not there. But people were misquoting him. And actually, Edward Teller happened to be at the meeting, and he corrected everyone's misquote of Bohr, I think because he had a personal relationship with Bohr. But I like the quote because in any endeavor, we all make mistakes. We're all imperfect, and hopefully we're improving. And I came with that spirit to talk about a work culture that works for everybody. Not that I'm a particular expert in this area, but I just have my life experience. And to my learnings that I shared with you yesterday, Kristen, I offered some tools that I had learned about how to give feedback in sort of a lightweight, low drama area that focused on the impact on oneself or one's teams. And I said, you can focus on the way it made you feel because your feelings are authentic. You can't say that, you know, someone's actions were wrong or right. This is how it made me feel. You know, consider that. And Mazgan, at the end of my talk, made a nice comment, and this was my learning, is that that for many women, talking in a professional context about one's feelings might put the conversation in a stereotypical place where they would be discouraged from actually talking about their feelings. And I hadn't thought that that would be a particular challenge, even though I'd shared this little tool with many colleagues over time. I hadn't thought, oh, my female colleagues may have a struggle with the way that I presented it because I focused on how it made, how someone's actions made me feel, and I want to give you that feedback. So if that makes any sense at all, that was my learning at the workshop.
No, that's wonderful. I think CJ has managed to reconnect. Have you reconnected, CJ? Or is it just his image? We see his image. Oh, he's disappeared again. So if CJ gets back on board, which all being well, he will do. He did a wonderful piece on resilience, and I know a lot of people requested that. So I guess since I'm here with Jack, and we can really kind of talk about the idea of developing that level of resilience and reframing. Have you ever heard of reframing, Jack, prior to this event?
No.
Yeah. Reframing is sort of this new thing. CJ, have you joined? Maybe. Maybe not.
Finally got back in. Sorry about that. This is CJ.
It's okay. Hello, CJ. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, the wonders of technology. We all work in high-performance computing, and here we are. So Jack did a wonderful thing about talking about developing expertise and learning and the lessons he's learned along the way. You made the biggest splash, at least in the social stuff that I was tracking, on resilience and reframing. And I wanted you, in like 2 seconds, it seems like, to really kind of tell us about what is reframing a situation? What does that mean? And I know Jack just said, I hadn't heard of this before. It is actually kind of new. I've heard of it, but not everybody has. So can you give us the blitzed view of what a reframing a situation is?
Yeah, situations are often handed to us we don't like, and then there's a question of, you know, then what? All right, so we can have emotions and reactions and defensiveness and focus on my perspective. An alternative to that is we can make choices, we can be proactive, and we can stay both who I am and who we are in that situation as we as a group that we identify with and see the other side. Can I give a few examples on this?
Yeah, go for it.
So there was a way back when I was only 30, I remember I was, I thought I was given a role as part of a community outreach, and I was excited to plan and lead. And the guy who gave me the role later told me that someone else was in that role and never remembered giving it to me. So it kind of made me kind of struggle with some anger and resentment over that issue. And they had to then, you know, well, I'm not going to change it. Like, he's got the role. So I had to figure out basically how I could help the guy in his fulfillment of that role. And, you know, that was the only positive way forward. There were cases that I've had in my current position where, you know, I got lots of attention from my boss on a role and then noticed I was getting left out of meetings, didn't have the information, and others were swarming all over it. So it doesn't make any sense for me to grapple over that, to say, you know, wait, me. And it's really not about title or privilege. It's about, you know, the contribution and doing the work and kind of running faster by making a unique contribution. Another example is tension with my 18-year-old son, who sometimes challenges me. That's sort of what he should do when he's 18 in a certain sense. And, you know, my reaction can be like, okay, you want to tangle, let's go. Or my spouse is under duress and a bit reactive. My go-to can be to defend myself, which comes across to her as not listening, or seek to get my way with my son by sort of exercising power with, you know, raising my voice or emotion. But I can also choose to stay myself, see past the cruft of whatever's going on, and consider what's the most effective way forward. And that tends to involve making other people understood first and building trust with them. So another example is, it's easy to get upset with people just being themselves personally, but I don't like being mad at people. That, you know, consumes vast amounts of emotional energy for me when I'm having relational difficulty with somebody. And people generally, not always, have at least some sliver of good motivation that started them out with a good intention before they might have taken a left turn. And if I can understand why they might have done something, I'm in a better position to at least make excuses for them and exercise mercy. But if I can understand what their original intention was, I may be able to go tap into that and help them to be the good person who they were trying to be in the first place. Super powerful if you see yourself in that kind of proactive role instead of a reactive one. And it's very freeing. And
yeah,
finally,
finish off.
Yeah, just last one. Especially in working with groups of people, I have to step back and say, how can we get there in 5 years? What track do I need to lay to eventually get to where we want to be together? And on a personal level, that may carry over into what skills I need to build, what connections I need to make, and especially where I can build trust with people to open better doors to better collaboration. So,
very true. I think the main thing is with a lot of that reframing too, is the idea of choice. And both Jack and yourself kind of really alluded to making that conscious choice to be more inclusive, to know. Jack's the other one that people loved on was the knowing when to shut your mouth, to shut up and to let other people speak. And for CJ, it was just you talking a lot about the fact that we can make choices in what we do. So final thoughts from Jack. What was your favorite part of the workshop?
Well, I think it was learning something. So I think I've already shared my favorite part of the workshop. The feedback I got that surprised me a little bit and caused me to think about what I had prepared to contribute. So that was my favorite part, basically Mosgan's comment.
Wonderful. CJ, do you have any final thoughts?
Hunger and openness, I think, just to see people who are excited to think about and be intentional about who we are, and to strategize and be the most of who we are, especially as we draw out the best in other people as we move forward. It was very exciting to see that.
Wonderful. Well, I, again, want to thank you both for joining in on this call and giving the biggest highlight reel we've seen in a long time. So thank you again for attending. And while our volunteers, hopefully Elisabetta and Martina, have joined, if not, I can wax eloquent on how amazing it is to volunteer for women in HPC. I want to say that putting together this conference workshop is a team event. There is no one person. And even though we've got Martina Elisabetta on this call, Moishen, who was unable to attend, she has done a lot of co-chair and chair work for years and years. It is sometimes blood, sweat, and tears to get things to happen. the other person, the other two who can attend, Veronica, also a longtime member, and Marion Weinerzel, she's at Durham NA. She's actually trying to revolutionize how chapters are being organized in the UK. So there's a lot of people around here who give out. So Elisabetta and Martina, are you guys on?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't. For some reason, my video also doesn't work.
That's all right. No worries. Elisabetta?
Hi.
So I want to start with Elisabetta first because she got some Kakarov Institute recognition. She got a press release that we got to talk through social, and I'll probably put on the social rotation again to talk about her experience. So really, we'll start with you. What was it like? What was your role? What was the experience like putting together this workshop?
So I was the invited talk chair. And so my task was to get in touch with the invited speakers and make sure that the program was okay, and talk to them and remind them about different things to do. Overall, it was a great experience. I mean, it was quite some work, but I got to join this group of very motivated women and talk to them and try to make things work. And in this process, I think we became friends, which is amazing. And now I get this network of people I can count on. And I already, for instance, started a project with Veronica, with the group of Veronica. So even for my job was a good thing. And Sarah mentioned that I was her mentor, and we also started to work together. There are absolutely benefit in volunteering for women in HPC. Again, it was a very good experience to me.
Well, good. And I was really excited when you let me know that the Cockcroft Institute was going to allow you a moment to shine for all the hard work you've done. So that is wonderful. Martina, was unable to attend the workshop, but she volunteered anyway. So Martina, why don't you tell us about your role, what you did, and what the experience was like for you?
Yeah, well, now during this workshop, I'm even more envious that I could not join you actually at the workshop. So thank you for at least giving me the opportunity to talk here a bit, because it was an amazing experience, especially with the women that were all organizing all together. So thank you very much for that. I was actually head of the mentoring program, and which basically involved asking people to join as a mentor and connect the students and the early career speakers with the mentors, the possible mentors. And considering how short notice everything was, I was really super amazed how everybody was willing to help out, and how it very much on this short notice still worked out, especially with the posters, which was, of course, usually without the COVID situation, a little bit more of a possibility to help the quality of the poster. But I think in the end, everybody was really participating in, everybody was very motivated. So that was really exciting, even if I could only see it from the outside.
That's okay. I'm just glad that that you were able to help us and put this together. And that's one of the aspects of the HPC community that I think is kind of underappreciated, and I think we should take a moment to be grateful for, is that sometimes you put in the work, not knowing entirely what the results are going to be. You're just there to make something happen. And to hear Sara immediately say, "I'm entering," that was the best part. It was like that. I hope that makes you understand how worthwhile these things are. So back to Elisabetta. I'm a person, I'm interested in helping out with SC or next year's ISC or something. Would you tell me to go for it? Would you give me any advice?
Well, ISC was my first experience with women in HPC, and it was so good that I volunteer even for SC, even though I know that I will not be able to participate because I'm teaching that time. So I would say to anyone, go for it. It's an amazing experience. It takes some time, of course, but I think it's totally worth it. And in the process, I also learn a lot. And it was amazing to be at the workshop and listen to the lesson learned from other people in the field. So I would absolutely say go for it.
There you have it. Love it so much. You're now going to take Martina's place and make sure these things happen. And Martina, would you do this all over again?
Oh, absolutely. With a team like you guys, definitely.
Thank you. To our own horn. So in regards to SC coming up, we do have a core committee that is in place. ISC, obviously, they haven't released anything, so we don't have anything else like that. If anyone on this call is attending SC and just wants to help out at the conference itself, understand that there are other events that we do. So we just talked about the workshop. There is also Diversity Day. All being well in the world, we're going to have another reception. Let's keep healthy, everybody. And the end game, we hope, that the workshop that happens, and that is an all-day workshop, has a big impact on everyone else. So we have 7 minutes. And I don't know, and this is going to be probably the worst suggestion I've ever made in this world, does anyone have any questions that they are willing to ask of anyone remaining here on this call? If so, I'll give you a minute to unmute yourself and fight it out. Or let's see if there's anybody see anything in the chat. Let's see. In the vein of experts and mistakes, I've heard several people say they have learned more from their failures than successes. That's good. Any of our speakers invited or our volunteers, learning from mistakes is probably a big thing that resonates across more than just the women in HPC world. I guess because no one's volunteering, I'll just talk. I actually was an invited speaker. I did diversity tax, and when I was putting together my talk, I realized that I could go down the trope of just kind of talking about various things about, you know, how women are often given these roles of diversity under the banner of thinking they're doing well and advancing their career when, in fact, sometimes they're not. And in some cases, it can become how they're identified. They're no longer seen as an engineer. They're no longer seen as an expert or an architect. And I realized very quickly that if I just sat around and preached to everybody, that it would just go over their heads. I have done that in the past. Found myself not making any type of impact. And so really kind of stealing from how Laura speaks and how Helena speaks is about trying to go for interaction with people. And being able to interact is really important because that gives you that feedback. And the safe space that women in HPC provide at our workshop for early career people to shine, for people to talk about hard topics, I think it is really imperative we have a safe space to talk about the tough things, is really going to help be what progresses the career. I think somebody threw something through. Matt, hello. How do you encourage folks to join an existing group that is profoundly homogenous? Matt, do you want to elaborate on that by chance? Did you mean like get people from the outside, people who would not identify with this community, tell them it's okay to be part of the community? Is that what you mean? Let's see if he writes anything. Nothing. Ah, who cares? All right, so really the big thing about bringing people in from the outside, that is a tough one. I'm from the outside. I don't have a engineering degree. I'm not from computer science. And I think the main thing about coming in from the outside is it was an accident for me, And I think that as this technology grows, we have an opportunity as a community to let people know that it's not just the engineers, it's not just the people who have that specific path. The path to HPC is not, I don't know of anybody who said, with the exception of possibly one person that I've met, that they got into HPC, that's what they wanted to do from their very beginning of their career. Yeah, you're right. IT Group is nearly all white men. So how do we change the narrative? I think one step at a time, hosting events like this, having our wonderful ally speakers like CJ and Werner and Jack, who get up and are willing to talk about their role in bringing more inclusion into this group. I think that there is a lot out there that can be done. I don't want to sit here and shine the light just on me and my thoughts. If any of our invited speakers or volunteers have any last words on this, feel free to unmute. If not, I'll share my screen. Go for it. Yes, please.
So I think I just want to underline your point. I work in an environment with all middle-aged white men, and being a woman in this space sometimes feels very, very lonely where I work. And so I think that a lot of times the guys that are sympathetic, that understand your perspective and all that, they sometimes don't even realize the situation unless you start pointing it out to them. So I mean, I think for our male allies and those men who want to help, I think one of the things too, like Jack said earlier, is to really listen and try to see the other perspective and allow it. Maybe call up, say, hey, you've got a female colleague that you work with. Can you tell me? Could you go ahead and point out when there's something that happens, and just kind of acknowledge that maybe you don't even see it, and that kind of neutral issue that happens, that that kind of percolates in a society. So I think a lot of times it's the good guys, it's the guys that you work with that things happen and they don't even see it. So if instead of me always pointing it out to them, if some of the guys say, hey, go ahead, point this out for me, please, actively point this out for me, and would be listened and responsive to that, that would make a big step forward, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think at SC in 2021, the speaker for the SC Inclusivity Group said, showing up matters so much. And just literally being in the room is a start, and making those headways is fine. I don't think we can boil the ocean overnight, and that's why this space exists, to have those conversations and to talk about it. And it's as people learn more and get better ideas and share them, I think that's the way we continue to grow and improve. Thank you, Laura, for helping me out there. So I just realized we're almost at time. I can't believe how fast this has gone. I want to share my screen one last time so I can show you about the next workshop. So yes. Oh, sorry. Why does this keep doing this? Anyway, I love this. Again, work in technology. All right, the 12th annual Women HPC workshop called Diversifying the HPC Community and Engaging Male Allies will be taking place Sunday, November 13th. It is an all-day affair, everybody. It is happening in Dallas, Texas. We are going to tomorrow have registration open. And when that registration opens, we're going to find out a bit more. But as far as I have been reading, and I do work on communications for SC, they are going to try to make sure that they have a robust experience for those who can only attend virtually. So I very much hope that means that we can have an even bigger audience, both online and in person in Dallas. For everybody who attended, holy cow, again, I want to say thank you a million times over to our fantastic speakers, to our fantastic presenters, to our early career people. I just realized I didn't actually share my screen. So thank you all for attending. This will be, I'm going to stop, do this recording, hopefully get this out and distributed. Again, tell your friends who are looking at doing early career, please sign up if you want to present for SC. And again, membership is 100% free. We don't charge for it. It is a volunteer-led organization, and we thank you all for attending today. Thank you guys so much, and have a great afternoon, evening, or morning, no matter where you are in the world. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.